Hey, boy. Boy, I like it. That's okay. He's out here with us. It don't bother me. In fact, it sort of does me good. Amen. We need to be a light, don't we? In this old dark world, it sure needs to be a light to those children, grandchildren, for the glory of God. That's what we want to be. It's sort of hard to walk around the dark, isn't it? That's why we need light. We walk in the light as He's in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and thank God for this. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. I'm glad when He forgave me, He didn't halfway do it. He forgave me for all of it. All. Cast all of my sins behind His back. Amen. Put them in the sea of forgiveness. Sometimes the devil try to remind him. I said, no, devil. They gone. He'll torment you with them if you let him, but you don't know how to let him. Amen. Praise God. I went last Sunday to see some people in the hospital. One of them was my Sunday school teacher when I was just little. But she's about as surprised about the Lord calling me to preach as I was. But you know what? You know what? It wasn't in vain. And I just want to say that. God let me see that this week. It's not in vain when you put in the Word of God. You may think they're not hearing, may think they're not getting anything out of it, but God will take it. On somewhere on down the road, it won't get away from it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm going to share a word in just a little bit. We've got a special guest with us this morning, one of our missionaries, Brother Davidson from the prison ministry. I want to say, we only go in, well, Brother Billy, y'all still going to the main unit, don't you?
Yes.
We go to the, and Brother Donnie and Brother Larry goes to the work camp. But what I want to say is, we're not just going there. Brother Davidson, Brother Mike Kelly, and many more of them that we're supporting, we're going to a lot of other prisons. You are. You say, well, I hadn't been down there with you. Well, but you happened to buy those Bibles. Yeah. Amen. You helping us. You helping these missionaries. And so you're going to the prison too. Now, you might not be going down there and getting locked up for an hour or two, but you are going. I don't even realize where I am when I get down there. Just like I'm in here. Right, brother? Amen. Look outside, you can see where they're making crops right there. But you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing God work. Seeing Him work. Sure am. We's blessed. Some of you know this. I said it Wednesday night. We's blessed Tuesday night with 65 at the work camp. Had 7, it was our first night. And the Bibles were carried, somebody wanting every one of them. Got some more to carry next week. Get the Word of God. You say, what are they going to do with them? Well, that'll be up to them then. Some of them are going to search them out. See what's in them. Well, it sure is good to see one of you this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Davidson, come on and share with us what's going on and what's on your heart, then I'll come back in a little bit. Come on, brother.
He said he's going to come see a miracle, and I said, well, you're looking at it.
He's been praying for us, right?
Amen. Yes, sir. Brother Mike been keeping us updated and everything else, and I told him yesterday I was over in G.K. Fountain, had a 3-day revival over there, and he helped me, and I says, Sunday morning, I'm going to see a miracle. Amen. I'm going to go over and see Brother Ike.
Yeah,
all ahead. Right. Praise the Lord. When I heard that seven, I said, man, my mama died, and she had five bypass surgery. Seven, that's a number of completion. I thought you done had it, brother, when you had seven of them. My soul. But praise the Lord, that's good that God works like that. I was down there in GK Fountain. We saw 18 souls come to Christ in the last 3 days over there. And I'm leaving here, and I'm going down to, I'm going over to Thomasville, Georgia, and we're going to be doing Monticello starting Monday.
Amen.
And I'll be down there with Brother Tim Martin and helping him out. And we'll be doing that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we're sure looking for the Lord to do some big things. Some great things.
Yes,
that's what
sir,
we're looking forward to. Amen. We're looking forward to, I tell you what, I had something, a little bit of something on my heart here that I'd like to share with you.
Yes, sir.
You know, in Romans 3:18 it says, there is no fear of God before their eyes.
Mm.
Our nation, I'm seeing some things that I thought I'd never see before.
Right,
and folks, they just don't have no fear of God. And you know what happens, what takes the fear of God out of man? Number one that takes the fear of God out of man is education. Education takes the fear of God out of man. The Bible makes it clear. It says in 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what we got here, is we got the truth. See, they're blinded. They cannot see the forest on account of the trees. They lack common sense. I mean, you see it out here on the vehicles and everything else. No fear they've got on the back of their windows and everything. I'm going to tell you something. When they draw their last breath, if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to find out what fear's like. I mean, these people are lost. They're in darkness.
Right.
Until they get the light of the truth of the gospel, they're like a blind man in a dark room trying to find a black cat. You know, you can't do it. I mean, he can't do it. But they're lost too, and they're blind just like you and I was before we got saved. But I'll tell you something else. Fear will take out of a man, and that is false religion. No fear will take that out of take the fear out of a man. There's all kinds of false religions. Paul was engulfed in a false religion in the Jewish Sanhedrin and everything else before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He was what I call, he was pickled in the brine of religion. Some of y'all have a garden, right? You get cucumbers out of the garden, you take it in the house, you wash out them fruit jars, and if you're going to make dill pickles, you make a brine, you put the dill in there, and you put the cucumber in. If it's sweet pickles, you use something else. Well, what happens is folks get into these churches, they get pickled in this brine of religion, but it's got nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ because they never come into a personal relationship and they never got birthed by the Holy Spirit of God into the family.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they're pickled in that brine of religion. Also, what happens is fear will take out of a man. False worship will take the fear out of man. And we've got all kinds of them in there. I was at GK Fountain, and I could not believe it. On the yard, it came time for the Muslim service, and they were lined up all the way through the yard out to the walkway. I believe there was way, way over 150 of them went into that chapel. False belief, false religion, you know. And it takes the fear of God out of man. It also takes the fear of God out of man as a seared conscience. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1-2, it says, and the Spirit speaketh especially in the latter times that some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils, speaking of lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, I don't know how many of you guys are cooks or ladies. I know you cook, but I mean, if you take a steak and you want a good steak and you're going to do it on the grill, you get a cast iron skillet or a regular skillet real good and hot and throw that steak in there and flip it over. As soon as it gets seared on both sides, you take it off and put it on the grill. Because when you sear it, it seals the meat and it keeps the juices in. If your conscience gets seared with all that wickedness and vileness and everything else, that's all kept in. So you can imagine that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people in this country in different positions that got a seared conscience. Yeah. They don't understand what we're all about. They don't understand at all. And I mean, they're just following the devil. That's the devil and his deeds. You know what he's doing. They rejected, and they had no fear of John the Baptist when he came, and he was representative of God Himself.
Yeah.
And they rejected John, and they said in Matthew 11:18, John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said he hath a devil.
Yeah.
The Lord come eating and drinking, they called him a glutton. They had no fear of either one.
Yeah.
They had no fear of God. None whatsoever. And I mean, the scribes, they always tried to trick the Lord. In the days of Jesus, when they reject everything else, you remember over there in John, I got to share this quick with you. In John 8, 3 through 11, when the scribes and the Pharisees brought the woman, and she was taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto the master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act, they said. And Moses in the law commands us that such should be stoned. But what say ye? See, they were tempting the Lord that they might have something to accuse him about. And Jesus stooped down and he wrote with his finger. I kind of wondered what he wrote. You know? Maybe, I don't know, but maybe he wrote Leviticus 20:10 down. And Leviticus 20:10 says, and a man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery and his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, shall surely be put to death. Uh-oh. They said that they took her in the very act. Or maybe he put down, where's the man? Huh?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I don't know, but I mean, they had no fear of God, this Sanhedrin. They were trying to justify their own way of life, and they didn't want to give it up so somebody would take their place. They didn't want to follow Christ. They just had no fear of Him whatsoever. In the times of Philip, they had no fear of God either. They stoned him. They resisted the Holy Ghost. He says, you stiff-necked and rebellious to always resist the Holy Ghost. They went against John. John was God's representative, the forerunner. They didn't want nothing to do with Jesus, the Son of God.
Right.
And then they turned on the Holy Spirit of God. Well, praise God that the next chapter, Paul got saved and he became an apostle to the Gentiles. Amen.
Right.
And we got in. Well,
right.
Praise the Lord about that. I mean, I'm excited about that.
Amen.
I mean, without that, we wouldn't have stood much of a chance. But there was no fear of God, and there's no fear of God today.
That's right.
When people have no fear of God, they will produce rebellious times. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that taketh counsel, but not of me, that cover it with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin unto sin. This is a picture of the United States of America right now today, just like the U.S. of A. Hey, we are full of idol worship.
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's all kinds of them today out there with their idol hitting that little white ball around playing cow pasture pool when they should be in the house of God, hearing the Word of God. Amen?
Right.
There's all different kinds of idols. They don't have to be no big statue of Buddha. Anything that you put between you and God, you got an idol.
That's right.
And then there's ritualistic religion, but they're lost. They're lost. They'll stand up for their religion. They're ignorant concerning God. Inhuman acts. I mean, our country's full of inhuman acts. Even animals don't kill their young. I mean, good night. What's going on in our country? How many babies have we killed, huh? Do as you please, spirit. If it feels good, do it. You know, lustful living, free love. You know, perversion, cursing, smoking. Well, it's like I tell them men in prison, you know, smoking ain't going to send you to hell. Make you smell like you've been there, but it won't send you, you know. And they look at me and I said, but I'll tell you something the devil won't tell you about that smoke. In it comes, up it goes, makes a chimney out of your nose, yellows your teeth, corrupts your breath, and leads you to an early death. That's what it'll do for you. Besides that, it takes a sucker to smoke. Amen? Think about it. And you know what that cigarette is, Brother Ike? It's a muffler between a fire and a fool. That's what it is. They're going to get lung cancer. They're going to get all kind of disease and everything else. And yet we still got children of God this morning. But it's not going to send you to hell, but it might get you out of here a whole lot quicker than you want to get out. Amen? Drinking, ignoring His Word, the book, refusing His message, professing He's dead, no character and no accountability. Hello, America. That's us. You know, no fear of God whatsoever. I mean, God gave us a recipe in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says, if my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves, seek my face, pray, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Hey, He said all four things, but we'll only do three because we don't think our ways are wicked. He isn't going to honor that prayer unless all four are accomplished.
That's right.
But see, the same thing happened in 2 Chronicles 36:16 over there where it says, they mock the messenger of God. They come in and hear the word, and they go home and have roast preacher because they don't like what they heard. They mock the messenger of God. Then it says they despise the word. And if you despise the word, you despise the Lord Jesus Christ, because in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was anything made that was made. He is the word.
Yeah.
They despise the word. They misuse the prophets. You tell them the truth, they get out the bag of rocks. You want to throw them at the preacher, amen? Hey, all I am is an errand boy. That's all I am. I'm delivering a mail. I'm a mailman. What happens with the mail is what the people do with it.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. If the mailman shows up at your house and he puts a bill in your mailbox, or if he puts it in easy or he throws it in, what's the difference? Do you want to rock him to sleep? No. But why do they want to treat the preacher that way? And then he says at the end of that verse in 36, I thought that was good too. He says, till the anger of the Lord rose up against His people, till there's no remedy.
Mm-hmm.
We're so close to that, it isn't even funny. We're very close to that right now. I mean, we are so super close, it's unbelievable. When people have no fear of God, they will produce lying times, lying leadership. The word is... Our world is governed by four boxes. Four boxes. Let me give them to you. Number one, it's governed by the soapbox, because they get on it and they propagate their rhetoric. And if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, people believe it.
Yes, sir.
Then they got that box going, the soapbox. Then they get the legislative box. Okay? They pass their rhetoric into law. Then you got the jury box. Now the people that are duped by what they done, they got them passing, you know, they got them people ruling on a rhetoric that they have propagated and passing it into law. Now, the fourth box, if the first three don't work, listen to this fourth box, okay? The three boxes don't work to gain control that they want. Okay, they get out the shell box, and they've done it all over the world. And mark it down, it's on its way here, folks. It's on its way here. There's no two ways about it. And all four of them boxes belong to the devil. All four of them. When people have no fear of God, that's what happens. That's what happens when they have absolutely no fear of God. Listen to this here. In a judgment... is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. For truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. That's the America that we live in today. That's exactly what it is. This is what's going on today in our country. Truth has fallen in the street, and he that departeth evil, according to verse 15, maketh himself a prey. Now, the Lord saw it, and it displeased Him, and there was no judgment. See, when we don't do evil, we make ourselves a prey. We become the hunted of the wicked one.
Yeah.
See, because we're standing for truth and right, and He's standing for wickedness, and so that's why, child of God, we are going to be persecuted, and persecution is coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. It's got to come.
Yeah.
And you can see this. You can see it happening, can't you? In our country today, standing for truth, you become the hunted. It is just a matter of time, and it's going to be open season on Christians. Just a matter of time. The real reason, over there, you remember when they took the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse in Alabama? Let me give you the real reason why they don't want the Ten Commandments in a courthouse. Here's the real reason, if they weren't posted in a courthouse. You cannot post, "Thou shalt not steal," "Thou shalt not commit adultery," "Thou shalt not lie," in a building full of lawyers, judges, and politicians, because it creates a hostile work environment. Huh? That's why it isn't there. Amen. Bottom line. See, we've made sin acceptable in our country because there's no fear of God. No fear of God. We don't call stealing stealing. We say, well, we're just going to use this, with no intention of putting it back where they got it from. No intention whatsoever. And then they say, well, if you commit adultery, they don't say that. They say you had an affair. Okay? When we lie, we're so smooth at it, you think we invented it. And this has become the pastime of, these three things have become the pastime of the leadership of this country and the majority of this country that don't know God. I mean, it's very sad, you know, that this has come to pass, because they have no fear. They have no fear whatsoever. No fear of God. They need to know the truth of God. They need to hear the truth. They need to have preachers stand up. No fear must do. If they've got no fear, those that have no fear, what they must do, that's Psalms 12, 1 through 12. We know over there, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? For they have set themselves against the Lord and His Christ. I mean, you know, the world has set themselves against God and the things of God. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get down to that verse number 12, the world better wake up. And the ones that fear not God, because it says, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled a little." Just a little. You know, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him.
Right.
In other words, don't make them mad. Because if you make them mad, I mean, even a child of God, if a child of God makes God mad, He'll take you out behind the woodshed. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He'll take you out there. What will God do with these rebels that we have in His country? Quickly, in Psalms 19, verse 7, it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God." That's what's going to happen to them. What He's going to do is He's going to put them in a lake of fire. He's going to put them where they can't do any more harm. He's going to put them where the rest of the world will be safe. He's going to put them where God can have open house again. You say, what do you mean open house? Hey, Revelations 21, 25 through 7. God's got open house right there. It says, "And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there." Hey, "And they shall be, they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, by them which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." God's going to have open house one day, and we ain't going to have to worry. Ain't that going to be great, Brother Ike, when we don't have to worry about this sin and all this trash that's going on around us? Child of God, oh, we're going to have a great time. There's no two ways about it. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm just going to read you something here quick about preachers, what preachers need to do, okay? If you're preaching from the Bible, preach on. If you're longing for revival, preach on. Preach on sin and condemnation. Preach for sinners His salvation. Preach to Christians consecration, but preach on. If your sermon's from the Lord, preach on. Never mind if they look bored, just preach on. If the devil looks down on it, and if the critics frown on it, and my soul depends on it, so preach on.
Yeah.
Amen. If you step on someone's corns, well, preach on. Take the bull by the horns, preach on. Even though we may not like it, even though some may try to fight it, preach on. Let not time be restricted. Be a restriction, just preach on. If the sinner's in under conviction, just preach on. Christ can save his soul, deliver him from hell. cleanse his heart and make him well, even if it's after 12. Preach on. Amen. From the law to revelations, preach on. Yeah. Christ is from for every situation. Oh, preach on. Even if the members doubt it and say they can do without it. If you're talking with God about it, just preach on. Amen. Think of Christ's own message clear and preach on. There's for all who wish to hear, oh, preach on. All our sinners, they must know that his blood did freely flow. We can wash; he can wash them white as snow. Just preach on. In Holy Spirit power, oh, preach on. He'll reward you in his hour. Just preach on. Amen. Broken hearts and sinners given. Blessings are so freely given. And there is a crown for you in heaven. Oh, preach on, preach on, preach on. That's all we got to do is preach on. Preach the word, amen. Tell them about Jesus. Hey, praise him, uplift him, put him on the mantle where you put up trophies and everything else. That's where God needs to be.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us in Psalms 146 through 50, brothers, praise ye the Lord. It starts with each one of them Psalms and ends with praise ye the Lord. It says he's worthy of our praise from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Yeah. Amen. We ought to praise him. We ought to uplift him. We ought to magnify him. We ought to be excited about him.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, I get excited about Jesus. Hey, I hope I never get over it.
Amen.
I'm 70 years old and I still get excited about Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I get excited when I see a miracle.
Yes.
And God bless you, brother.
Amen.
I...
God bless you, brother.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on up here.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God.
God love
you.
You
take
it.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well,
praise God. Well, you're getting wound up. You just over to preach on, ain't you? What a blessing. What a blessing. And what truth.
Yeah.
Folks, we're in a mess in this country.
Right.
But you know what? We need to preach on.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, brothers. Appreciate that so much. Well, I got something heavy on my heart. Turn with me in your Bibles. Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. Thank God for his word.
Yes, sir.
It's true, people's lost their fear of God. And people lost the fear of hell. Don't know much about the joys of heaven. I want to try to share with you from this passage of Scripture in Luke 19. The certainty of hell. Some of the cries and crowds in hell. I look back in some of Bibles, particularly one of them, the preach, probably preaching in 40 years ago. I don't know what happened to this chapter, but I couldn't find it. Wore it out. I think's what happened to it. The Holy Ghost said to me this week, how long has it been since you preached on the subject of hell? Well, you know, in this passage of Scripture you're going to find there's some of them in hell wanted to go back, and this rich man wanted to go back and warn his five brothers. But you know what he said to them? They can't come here and you can't go there. So that's a bridge that nothing can get you out of. It's a guff. It's a bridge that's guff. So I like to share with you also, there's two beggars in this passage of Scripture. One of them begging in this life. Rich man was begging in the life to come. And what we really need to get a hold of this morning is heaven's a real place, but also hell is a real place. It wasn't an accident, it was on God's purpose and plan. When I was a teenager, some of you heard me say this many times probably, but I dreamed I died and went to hell, Brother Billy. I woke up weeping. And it's not strange, is it, the Saturday night in August 1965, I went to an old camp meeting, a revival, a countywide revival. Don't even have anymore. Under a tent. Guess what the preacher was preaching on? Hell. Can tell you his name. Never seen him before that night, and had never seen him since that Sunday night. Oh, I was poked and drugged and encouraged to go that Saturday night because I was hunting excuses. Nobody had to say, come on, let's go, Sunday night. Not ready. Why? God done a work in my heart. And his brother Davidson said, hadn't got over it yet. Still there. And he's still working on me. Brother Scott Trent preached on hell that night. Boy, it was real. His old saying is, some old preachers could preach on it. Could preach hell so hot you could feel the flames. You know that it was real. Certain. Just as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit this morning, there's a hell. No way of getting around it. It's scripture. Jesus talked about it over and over again. He said in Mark 9:44, 46 and 48, you know what those verses said? For the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. That's also the same scripture. He said, if I offend thee, pluck it out. He said, if a hand offend thee, cut it off. A foot offend thee, cut it off. Get it out of the way. In other words, don't let nothing stand between you and God, because there is a hell, and this is sheer is everything. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, it's an awful place, and we need to, listen, you need to shun it, need to go from it, and run from it, and run to Christ. He's the only bridge between fallen man and God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only bridge. Listen, there's no getting out of hell if you get tired. There's no going back. Listen, I'm glad they're not, thank God. But you know what he said in this passage of scripture? Let's read it in Luke 16, verse number 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumb which fell from the rich man's, listen, it says, table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thy in thy lifetime receiveth good things. And likewise, Lazarus, it says evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that I will send them unto my father's house. I have five brethren. He may testify unto them that they may, lest they also come into this place of what? Of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, if one went unto them from the dead, they would what? Repent. He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, we thank you for your precious word. I pray that you'd reveal it to us this morning. Oh God, we pray, speak to us and through us. Glorify your Son. Oh God, here this morning, I pray you'd save the one nearest eternity. Save the one nearest. There's one here this morning, oh God, never been born into the family of God. I pray this may be the day that you'd save them for your glory and for your honor. And I pray you'd stir our hearts as Christians that, Lord, we'd see, our Father, the reality, oh God, of life after death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Somebody said that's a parable. He didn't say it was no parable, did he? He said there's a certain rich man. He said he talks about him. He fared sumptuously every day. Had everything this world's goods had ever offered. He had it. But you know what? Old Lazarus didn't have anything. That don't mean he's not trying to teach us that the rich go to hell and the poor go to heaven. No, he's not trying to teach us that. He just happened to be in this patch of the scripture that one of them was rich in this world. But you know what? Now look at it. Who was rich in the world to come? That's what really matters. That's what really counts. That's what really matters. And he said, Lord, He said every day, but he said verse 20, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. You see, Lazarus was the beggar in this life, but if you notice in the next life, it become the rich man. It became the rich man. What is in hell? We'll look at this morning, some things that are in there, and some things that are in hell, also some things that are not there. Thank God for some that are not. But you know what? The one thing this rich man did, you know what he did? He prayed in hell. He did. He had all of his conscience. He had all of his senses. Listen. You stop and think about the moment. He saw in hell. He saw Abraham. He saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. He could see in hell. He could feel in hell. He could feel the flames that were burning. Listen, he was there where the worm died not. He could remember. He said, "Son, remember? Do you remember how it was? You had everything in the world. You wasn't a beggar then, but now he's begging. Did you know he cried in hell?" It's what the Bible said. He cried and said, "Father Abraham," I believe he was weeping and crying. He could remember in hell it was an awful place, but he was being tormented day and night. There was no relief. There was nothing to just an old God stir our souls. If we as a church ever get back to the place where we can see the reality and the literal place called hell, we get stirred to try to keep people from going there. Amen. But some of the things that went there, we see them from this scripture. Oh, listen. We see how. Listen, I'm glad. Did you know what? Listen, the beggar didn't have no funeral. But you know what he did? The angels come got him and carried him to Abraham's bosom. Carried him to the place of paradise. They were going at that time, thank God. But the rich man had a burial. He was buried. But you know what he did? He lifted up his eyes being in torment. I'm telling you, just because a person dies, if you hear this morning, don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, never been born again, I want to tell you something. If you die lost, you'll lift up your eyes in hell. They used to set up with people. They were dying. And most of them was more conscious than they are when they die now. A lot because of medicine. My dad was telling about some men were setting up with a man. He said he didn't believe in hell. Brother Raymond said he was an infidel. Didn't believe in heaven nor hell. But guess what? Sad as it is. But Larry, they said they had him turned. They'd been turning him, you know. Had him turned with his face toward the wall. And said, looked up. He turned back toward the man that was sitting up with him. Looked at him with fear in his eyes. You know what he said? "Is this the hell y'all been telling me about died that quick. Hell's a real place. The certainty of hell. It's real. It's awful. It's terrible. You don't want to go there. You sure don't. It's crying going on there. It's pain, torment. Awful. Awful, awful, awful. In hell he lifted up his eyes, verse number 23, being in torments. But he could see. He could feel. He could cry. And he's hollering to Abraham to have mercy on him. And you know what he wanted him to do? Send Lazarus. He said, I don't want a bucket of water. I don't want a tub of water. I said, if he could just give me a drop of water, that might cool this tongue of mine. Can I say something? Won't be no... Here's a comparison. Can I compare a little? This is just compare a little. In heaven, rivers. Rivers of living water. In hell, not a drop. In heaven, wonderful light. The Lamb. Don't even need the sun. The Lamb's the light of the sea. In hell, darkness. Complete. Darkness. In heaven, complete rest. In hell, no rest. In heaven, complete peace. In hell, no peace. Why in the world? And I say something. Went last night to watch those little ones. Graduate. From kindergarten. No, they ain't going to kindergarten. From nursery, pre-K. They sung a song. I'm glad it wasn't much light in there. People could have seen me weeping. Got to open my heart. Let them be little. I don't know what else the song, don't remember what all the other words sung, but said, let them be little. The Holy Ghost said to me, won't be no little ones in hell. Right. No babies.
Hey.
No little ones in hell. I don't know about you. Little ones like hollering Papa a while ago. Some of them may have lost some little ones like that. My mama lost her first one. But you know where they are. They're in heaven. So there's some things that's not in. I don't want to go. I wouldn't want to go to hell. I love young ones. Won't be none there. God provided for that. What did Jesus say? Disciples were saying something to him about little ones coming to him. He said, suffer little children to come into being forbidden not far off, such is the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you something, God's going to have his number. A lot of them gets there young. Amen. The boys and girls want to say something. When you get to the age of capability, you know wrong from right. Choose a right.
Yeah.
I was listening. No one listened. I was reading behind Brother Adrian Rogers. He's dead now. I'm going to be with the Lord. He said he was talking to two young girls, young ladies one day. Talking to them about the Lord. Witnessing to him. I'm sure he was. One of them accepted Christ. One of them bowed and asked him to have mercy on her. You know what Tudden kept telling him? I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. He kept witnessing to her. Then he finally said to himself, well, I don't want to push it any farther. I've shared it with her. But he said this to her. Well, would you shake my hand? She said, I'd be glad to shake your hand. He said, well, that's sort of, listen, if you shake my left hand, you're saying I'm going with the devil and I'm going to hell. Stay with him. If you shake my right hand, you're saying I'm receiving Christ. Amen. Accepting what he did for me. And going to heaven to have eternal life. Or your left hand you shake, you're going to have eternal death. You know what she said? Oh, no, 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 no. I can't shake neither hand. I'm not shaking the hand. I go with the devil. He said, well, you say you're not going to go with Christ. You're saying, I'm going with the devil. You know what she kept saying? I'm not ready yet. I'm going to tell you something. Don't put it off. So we see, no person can come from one place to the other. They can't. Thank God for that. Nobody in hell is going to come up and mess up heaven. And thank God we're not going to leave heaven. We can't even leave it and go and preach to those. And you know what? You know what he said? If they won't hear Moses and the prophets, if you don't hear the preaching, the brother said preach on. If you don't hear the preaching of the word now, if you're waiting for God to send you somebody back from the dead, listen, you better come to Christ now. I didn't die, but I come close to it. And God's been ever since then telling me, warn everybody you warn. Yeah. And God left me here for a purpose. Amen. And a reason. Yeah. Again this week I warned a group of people at the funeral. Death is coming. Repent. Turn to Christ. No babies in hell. I'm glad that they're not. Did you know what? One thing about hell is you can say about heaven, both's eternal. If it ever dawns on you how eternal hell is, once you're there, the only thing that's going to happen one day, death and hell is going to give up the dead. Now, bodies in the grave, person lost in hell. But to come at the resurrection, not at the first resurrection, because that's the blessing of the dead that died in the Lord. Blessed and holy is his part in the first resurrection. But what's going to happen 1,000 years later? The rest of the dead be raised. You're coming out of hell. Your body's coming out of the grave. But what's so sad about it? You'll be cast into a lake of fire. Abraham said, son, remember. Remember, Abraham. Everything you had, everything in the other life. He had everything but what he really needed. He needed the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What did he say? Father Abraham,
just send Lazarus. Bring him. Bring him. Let him bring a drop of water and cool my tongue. Then he said to him, I pray thee, send him to my father's house, for I got five brethren that may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. So let me share this. The certainty of hell, the crowds. Hey, you don't want to go to hell. There's an awful crowd down there. Sure are. You read in the book of Revelation sometime, you can see a lot of these crowds Brother Davidson's talking about. That's where they're headed. Awful. Murders, whoremongers, adulterers. All you name it on down. Liars shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. You don't want to go there, for the crowds that are there. You know, I've had people tell me all kinds of things through the years. I've had some tell me before, we get there, we'll party. There'll be some others there with you. You won't be worrying about no party. You still have your thirst, but it won't be quenched. Can tell you something, you may have a thirst, as Brother mentioned a while ago. You may just have a thirst that's got a hold of you for alcohol. But they won't even be a drop of water there. You'll be thirst. It's an eternal, everlasting thirst that shall never be quenched, because there's no water there and no other kinds of thing to satisfy the thirsting that may be in your afterlife. Come to Christ. Won't you come to him? He'll save you. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you a new heart. Can I say what he said in John 3? You know what he said in John, the 3rd chapter? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. He come not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. But this is the condemnation, that light's come into the world. Men love what? Darkness rather than light. Neither will they come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Neither will they come. So you may give all kind of excuses not come to Christ, but the real truth is, you love darkness. And I confess that's what I love, just like a lot of you here love, but when you come to Christ, thank God he gives you a different love. And it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Man still searching and longing, trying to find something to satisfy him. If you come to Christ, you can find it in him. Hallelujah. He is the one. Yes, he is. I'm telling you, no bridge between fallen man and God except the Lord Jesus Christ. Jotted something down here before I wouldn't forget this. You know what hell is? Sorrow without relief. It's misery without hope. It's death without end. That's what hell is. And it's eternal. It's eternal. Would you stand with me this morning?